Arizona's news station, KTAR News 92.3 FM. Now, continuing coverage of the school shooting in Santa Fe, Texas, with Mac and Gatos.
Unfortunately, we're talking about another school shooting. It happened earlier today. 10 dead, 10 injured, Santa Fe High School, 30 miles southeast of Houston, Texas. One person is in custody. He is called the shooter. A second person has been detained. Let's talk now to ABC News correspondent in Santa Fe, Texas, Jim Ryan. Jim, thanks for joining us. How did this all start?
Well, like so many of these things do, students are just settling in for the day at about 8 o'clock in the morning. In an art class, specifically, according to one witness, just sitting down at their desks, preparing to do some graduation rehearsals, some other activities, when a student, a 17-year-old, walked into that classroom, pulled out a shotgun, and opened fire, killing, as you point out, 9 students, 1 teacher, wounding nearly a dozen others. I think the original number was 13. Some have been treated now. Initially, according to police, his postings on social media suggest that he intended to take his own life after the shooting, but either lost his courage or changed his plan. But suffice it to say, he put down the 2 guns that he had, the shotgun and the .38, and surrendered to the police.
So did he go to this art class on purpose? Was his first stop. Was there a reason that he went there?
It's unclear whether he knew anyone in that class, whether he had a vendetta against someone there. We just don't know, or whether this was just sort of a random incident. Senator John Cornyn, just a few minutes ago, the senator from Texas, the senior senator, said that social media suggests that, that there were things that he put out there that could have been caught by others and might have prevented this happening.
We're talking to Jim Ryan, ABC News correspondent. He's at the site of the shooting in Santa Fe, Texas. 10 people killed at a Texas high school today. So we've got this one 17-year-old in custody, and we've got a second person detained. What can you tell us about the person in custody and the second person detained?
Well, I suspect that other person has been questioned and released. We haven't heard anything about a second person being charged with anything as yet. All we know is about the 17-year-old who, in fact, has been or is being arraigned this afternoon on this capital murder charge. The other person, it may be one of these fog of war kinds of situations where someone who seems like there's a connection might not have a connection. We don't know that yet, but we do know that the gunman, at least, according to police, is in custody.
And what do we know about the gunman? Can you share anything that you've learned since we've listened to ABC News at the top of the hour?
Yeah, well, other than since then, the arraignment has happened. We know that much. He was active in the Greek Orthodox Church. He was in the dance organization that church ran. He also had been part of the athletic teams or an athletic program here at Santa Fe High School. Beyond that, there's just not much else that's been said about him in terms of what his background was. His parents apparently were immigrants, and his father owned or does own a ship rebuilding or ship refinishing business. This is an interesting community. It's a lot of agriculture, a lot of farms and ranches, but right along the Texas coast, there's a lot of marine activity here too, and so that's pretty much what we know about the whole family.
Jim Ryan is in Santa Fe, Texas. He's joining us on KTAR. 10 people killed at the Texas high school today. So they found a bunch of explosives and bombs and stuff, right? Were they inside the school?
They were, if not inside the school, they were there on the campus. We've been told about a Molotov cocktail, and also there was a C4 kind of explosive. That suggests to investigators that there was some planning, some depth of planning that went into this. It wasn't just a spur of the moment to grab a gun and go. We're talking about something that apparently did take some planning, did take some coordination, if not with someone else, then at least learning how to put these things together.
What type of guns were used, and didn't his father own the guns?
He did. That's what we're told, that these 2 guns, a .38 and a shotgun, were owned by his father. They were illegally owned by his father. But his son, the 17-year-old, had no business having them, had no legal right to be carrying these guns. So now the question becomes, how did the 17-year-old get hold of the guns? The lieutenant governor of Texas is urging gun owners now to lock their gun cabinets up, make sure that their kids don't have access to them.
Jim, last one. You've covered several school shootings. I'm certain more than you'd
can't
like.
Can't count
to
them anymore.
Yeah, you can't count them anymore. So when you go and you get the phone call, there's another school shooting, and you've got to hop on a plane and go. I mean, when you get there, are there similarities? What's different? What is it like to have to show up at a school where you know children just lost their lives? It's got to be tough.
Well, interesting. Yeah, it is. And I think there's almost a pattern, a bell curve of emotions that people are facing in a town like this. In every case, you'll hear them say, I never thought this could happen in my town, and now it's happened in my town. And everyone feels almost immune from this sort of thing happening at all. And they're willing to talk. It's almost a catharsis for them in the early hours, early days after something like this. And then weariness starts to set in, and a sense of the reality of what's happened here. The funerals begin, and people feel angry. And this is a life-changing event for this community.
Jim Ryan, ABC News correspondent in Santa Fe, Texas. Jim, thank you so much again. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes,
yeah,
Jim Ryan.
I think you kind of nailed it with Jim. He has covered a ton of school shootings, and he blurted out, I don't count anymore. I can't count them anymore.
It's not the way it should be.
Right, right. It is just too ubiquitous now that we talk almost every month about some kind of mass shooting, and a mass shooting defined as more than three people in a certain place.
Yeah.
Today, we're talking about a school mass shooting with 10 people dead and 10 people who are in the hospital wounded. And once again, it comes down to one guy, one person.
Right.
What's the motivation, and why is it a teenager? Don't know yet. But again, you're going to have these politicians and these other people who will say, you know, it's about mental health, it's about gun rights, it's about whatever. And nothing will really get done except we mourn as a country. The president has already announced flags at half-staff in mourning. And it'll die down. It'll die down in the next couple of days. We're going into the weekend. This is a Friday, so we're going into the weekend. And one could happen next week. One could happen next month. But nothing seems to really get done because... I don't know why it doesn't get done, because you have all kinds of things that could get done. There is no easy answer here.
No.
Why does a kid, and this is what struck me from what Jim told us, why is a kid who's active in the Greek Orthodox Church, who was on a sports team, who seemed to enjoy school, now we may learn something totally different. Usually it's the kids who don't do anything, don't like being at school, are always picked on. They're not engaged in any kind of activity. How come this kid decides to shoot up his school?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Friday's deadly school shooting in Texas is the 41st school shooting of the year.
Of the year. And we're almost halfway through the year.
So the organization, this nonprofit that puts these numbers together, we have to keep in mind, defines a school shooting as any time a firearm discharges a live round inside a school building or on a school campus or grounds. So in other words, this count of 41 also includes attempted suicides, completed suicides, or an accidental discharge of a firearm.
Yeah.
So when I say 41, it doesn't mean that
there was
41
involved.
Incidents
yeah.
like today have happened.
Yeah.
But it's still 41 incidents, and a lot of these incidents are the same. And you know what? Our government has accepted that it's normal, and they're not going to do anything. And they haven't done anything, and they won't do anything. And I say this until it's nauseating for people, and I will say it until they tell me I can't talk on the radio again. Never count on Washington, D.C. to fix any problem. Don't count on the president. Certainly don't count on Congress. I don't care what side of the aisle you like. They're never going to get anything done. You can never count on them. So you have to do it yourself, either as a parent, a school board,
a teacher.
Yeah. Because if you're waiting, Obama couldn't do anything.
Right.
And Trump has been in office a year and a half, 2 years, whatever. He can't do anything. Congress has been, you know, most of the people in Congress, they've been there forever. They simply don't care enough to do something.
They're just cashing the check.
That's it. So you just cannot rely on the people that you elect to get something done about this. This is a national crisis, and we're here all the time talking about it.
Yeah.
And it isn't getting any better.
And I said it earlier that the name of the shooter changes, the location changes, and the death count changes.
Right.
That's about it. Mm. For a lot of these shootings, it's the same story.
Right.
And it's just way too common.
And just wait for all the red flags. You'll see it all this weekend.
Right.
There'll be a million red flags, and we'll ask the question Monday.
Right.
Why didn't they catch this guy? Why didn't they catch the Parkland guy?
Why didn't anybody intercede? Why didn't anybody say anything?
Right. All right. Coming up next, President Trump.
Yeah, is that meeting with Kim Jong-un still on?
Interesting. He's offered protections to Un if North Korea gives up the nukes. But what exactly does Trump mean by protections? That's in a second.
It's Arizona's afternoon news with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Today is your last chance to win breakfast for a year from First Watch while helping the Valley of the Sun United Way break the cycle of poverty.
Mm.
Text the word UNITE to 411923. That's 411923 for complete details.
All right, we'll get back to what happened at a Santa Fe high school. Becky Lynn's coming up in a couple minutes with her news flash, 10 dead, 10 injured, and the gunman in custody. So, do you have June 12th marked down in your calendar?
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
I think everybody does. Trump and Kim Jong-un will meet. I don't think the meeting is... I think the meeting absolutely is going to happen. I know Kim Jong-un has been kind of a pain in the rear end this week. He said, hey, you Americans and the South Koreans are still running drills. I think you're going to take my country over.
Right.
No, we're not going to do that. Not yet. We're not going to do that. We want to meet. So I thought this was interesting. Trump has offered protections to Un if he agrees to give up his nukes. What protection are we giving this guy?
That's a great question. Do you protect him from South Korea? Do you protect him against reprisals from Russia or China or maybe Iran, who were all doing business together with North Korea? Or do you offer him, I don't know, if he is so paranoid and so concerned about his country being invaded, do we actually, instead of being on the South Korean side of the DMZ, do we protect other borders like on China, the border with China or the border with Russia, to make sure they don't take over North Korea? I mean, the word protections is multi-layered here because you could talk about literally a defense system, military, economic, or like geopolitically. If, you know, if Iran doesn't like you anymore and they want to try to do something, do you slap Iran down and say, hey, knock it off? He agreed to denuclearize. That's a good thing. Leave him alone.
Here's what the president said. This would be, with Kim Jong-un, something where he'd be there, meaning in North Korea. He'd be in his country. He'd be running his country, Trump said. His country would be very rich.
Whoa. Wait a minute. This is one of the poorest countries in the world.
His people are tremendously industrious. So I think this is my guess.
Is that all Trump clothing and all Trump wrist watches will be made in North Korea?
To build a hotel.
That's what I mean, yeah.
I think that you give up the nukes, we're going to make sure you get trade with everybody around the world who are partners with us. Your country is going to we're going to get the sanctions that are just tightening your belt. We're going to get rid of all those. We're going to tell other countries to start doing business with you. If you're a good little boy, you're going to be rich. You're going to do business with the world.
And he gets to remain in his country and run it.
Yeah. It's fine. Man. I think that's a pretty good deal.
No nukes. Remember what happened with Iraq, though. When we went into Iraq and we deposed Saddam Hussein,
mm-hmm.
You can't just drag a country that hasn't evolved since the Middle Ages into the 21st century Would we be making the same mistake? You've got a country for over 70 years has been a dictatorship. You can't just say, okay, guys, here you go. Here's a bunch of money and a bunch of agreements and the people and the certain class systems and the upper whatever and Kim Jong-un are like, okay, we get it. We know how to operate in more of a democracy fashion than ever before.
It's tough. You can't compare Middle East to North Korea. Because,
well, you can, because they were both dictatorships, and he has, much like Saddam Hussein, he gets rid of people he just doesn't like.
I know. I just think the people are different. People around the world are different. I think if you're from the Middle East, you know, going from being told what to do and when to do it and
right.
how to do it and then being free all of a sudden,
right.
that's just too hard. I mean, we thought in Iraq that people would just love us. They really didn't.
No.
They didn't. In North Korea, if we were to take out Kim Jong-un, I don't know, maybe people would love us, or maybe it would be another Iraq, but...
don't even take out Kim Jong-un. How do you expect him to suddenly be, quote-unquote, a good leader instead of what he's been? Because that's all he's known.
I think that if he wants to change his tune and Trump makes a deal with him, he'll change his tune. Maybe he never wanted the nukes. Maybe he just wanted to be part of the world... The rest of the
world stage, yeah.
The world stage, and he wants to be rich. I like how Chad Benson said it at 6 o'clock. Kim Jong-un likes stuff. Donald Trump likes stuff. They both like to be rich. They both like that stuff.
But Kim Jong-un is rich now.
Yes, but if you keep giving him stuff, that's what makes him happy. He wants the cars. He wants the women. He wants the money.
The palatial estates.
Yes, he wants the admiration. And I think if you can get him that, that's probably what he wants. I really don't think he cares to have a nuke.
So we give him...
I think the nuke was a means to an end.
So we give him something.
Yeah.
He gives us
his weapons.
Stormy Daniels, we get the weapons, and it's a fair... See, I just don't understand how that... You know, we give him something he wants. Well... He's a dictator. He can have anything he wants already.
He doesn't get money from us.
So,
he doesn't get money from elsewhere. They're not a rich
country.
They've
gotten money from us in the past.
Right.
Not right now, but in the past.
Open.
So our protections, we just pay you, let's say, $1 billion every year?
I don't think that's it. I think you can do trade. I think you can work out, you know, arrangements for what will you guys do for us. We can do this for you. We can make sure that other countries trade with you. We're going to take you under our wing a little bit. And we're going to make sure you guys are happy over there. But you can never have a nuke. Again, you can't have any missiles. And you put a missile up in the air, we're going to explode you. I mean, that might be what happens.
And that may be as simple a deal
right.
as they come to.
Yeah. June 12th, Trump on.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting. Coming up next, 10 dead in a Texas high school shooting. It's interesting, though. This shooter took a page out of Columbine and the Boston Marathon bombing. We'll explain next.
Arizona's afternoon. With Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the school shooting in Santa Fe, Texas, with Mac and Gatos on Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
All right, well, hopefully you've been checking in and out during the show and during the day here on KTAR. We reported on this earlier today that in Santa Fe, Texas, there was a high school. 10 people were killed, I believe 9 children and 1 teacher. So 10 are dead, 10 are injured. Santa Fe High School, about 30 miles southeast of Houston. We've got the one person in custody who was the shooter. He had a shotgun and a pistol. We heard that a second person has been detained. A little foggy there. We talked to Jim Ryan from ABC News. We're not really sure if that's the case. Or if they thought, well, maybe this second person had something to do with it, maybe, maybe not. Not exactly sure. We'll do some homework on that. But there were also explosives. So, you know, a school shooting, you know, sometimes it's a gun. Obviously,
many
it's
rounds.
A gun. Many rounds, right.
right?
But then you've got a very sick way of killing people. I think that this kid, and he's 17, I think he put some of these bombs near the doorways.
And that's what it looks like.
So when people ran out,
yeah,
it would explode them. Now, I don't know if that worked. And I'm guessing
didn't. The bombs didn't detonate, but what they found were explosives, maybe some Molotov cocktails. In other words, he wanted to inflict more damage around the school than if he just went from classroom to classroom.
Yeah, because he put these bombs in the school before he shot up the school. So Brad Garrett from ABC, he's joined us many times, he'll probably join us a little later today.
Yeah, he's a former FBI special agent.
He says it was premeditated and that this shooter took a page from Columbine, but it was definitely premeditated.
There's no question about it. Think about Columbine. Klebold and Harris, wearing trench coats, planted bombs in positions so as the kids fled, the explosives would go off. The goal for them was to kill virtually everyone in the school. Fortunately, that didn't work, and it appears today also did not work.
So the shooter today wearing a trench coat. Columbine killers wore trench coats. Columbine killers that planted the bombs. This 17-year-old from Texas planted bombs. It was
the way that the
Columbine-esque, if you want to say.
Yeah, the way the Columbine shooters got their guns unnoticed into Columbine, the high school, was to hide them within his jacket. That's the way they said today he got a sawed-off shotgun into that school, much like the Columbine killers.
I'm going to say it again, because we're going to talk about it in 2 weeks when this happens again. I think all schools should have a dress code.
No matter if they're public, parochial, private.
And the reason is everybody who goes into a school, these people who go into a school and shoot it up are wearing something different. Let's go with Parkland, okay? If you had had a dress code there, this guy would have walked off the street and in, and you would have known that person doesn't go to school here. If this guy today wore a trench coat, you'd know something was wrong if there was a dress code.
Especially in Texas this time of year.
It's 90 degrees.
Where it's and humid like you would not believe.
Yeah.
This guy, you would ask him, why are you wearing a trench coat? There's no reason to wear a trench coat every day to school.
No. No. So I think that's one way that you could make sure, you know, because if someone walks into your school, let's just use Sandy Hook. When that killer walked into the school, let's say that there was a dress code. I know that's not really a great analogy.
Yeah, that was an elementary
school.
He's older
and they're
younger.
Right. What I'm trying to say is, let's say that your kid goes to a high school, all right, and your high school kid, they're all in dress code, and this 30-year-old guy or 25-year-old guy walks in jeans or and you know that he's that's right.
Right. This kid, 17 years old, wore a trench coat every day and combat boots. Now, you know, I don't know that much. I have not studied Columbine. I know what I know because of what I do for a living, talking about school shootings. Oof, boy, didn't think I'd ever say that. But at some point, and this is the part that confuses me the most, at some point, your fascination with the way you dress or with Columbine or with, I wonder if somebody either put two and two together and didn't ask. You know what I mean?
No.
Like the one thing that I've talked with my, I mean, we talk about many things, but the one thing I've talked about with my wife is my wife kind of sort of, you know, she works with younger girls. She, you know, is involved in, you know, trying to do away with sex trafficking, that kind of thing. There are signs that the way people dress, you kind of have a stop and chat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're wearing a trench coat in 90-degree weather. Did a teacher ever say, why are you doing that? Why do you have to wear it? Because from what we understand, the kids made fun of them, and a high school coach made fun of them because it stunk so bad. And he stunk bad because it you sweat. I mean, when I lived in Texas, I'd take 3 or 4 showers a day because it's just so oppressive. This guy's wearing a stinky jacket. What's the deal with the combat boots and the way you dress? Did somebody did anybody just ask, why are you dressed that way? Because we know with my daughter, if she comes home saying, I have to wear this because my friends all wear this, that's a big sign right there that she's a follower, that she is influenced in a way to dress that maybe we don't agree with, and we talk to her about that. Did anybody talk to this kid and figure out why he wearing a trench coat all the time?
There's no dress code. He can wear whatever he wants.
Right, but you wear the same thing each and every day, kids make fun of you for it.
It doesn't mean you're a school shooter.
No, it doesn't. You know, but did anybody even ask to figure out why are you even doing this, and get some insight.
I'm sure somebody said something. I'm sure the principal said maybe, but, you know, it's not always the way you dress. Look at the guy's social media.
I know, but my point is that somebody, and we hear this a lot, somebody knew something, or somebody had to know his fascination with Columbine, or the way he would post on social media stuff that, you know,
where
like
his parents?
T-shirt.
Where are his parents?
Or even his parents? Did his parents ever say, "Are you dressing in the trench coat again?" I mean, at some point, it's got to become apparent there's something else going on.
He's got Nazi stuff on his social media.
Right. I mean, at some point, you've got to ask.
It's just frustrating.
What is the deal with your fascination with fill in the blank?
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, we'll get the latest news from Becky Lynn. We'll get some traffic. And Starbucks has to apologize again.
For the Philadelphia incident?
No. This time for what was written on a cup. Next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Mac and Gatos. Arizona's Afternoon News, 92.3 FM. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
With Mac and Gatos on demand, you'll never miss any of the show. It's on the KTAR News app, KTAR.com, or subscribe to the show on the Apple Podcast app on your iPhone. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford.
I mean, I think we have to start almost doing a segment every day, people that act like idiots in public. You could go back to, let's see, the Starbucks incident with the two African Americans sitting there for 3 minutes, and they get the cops called on them. I didn't like that. I didn't think they were hurting anybody. We had the Yale incident of a black woman sleeping, taking a nap in like a common area. White woman calls the police on her. For what reason? I have no idea. We had an incident, 2 days ago, where there was a black man who was a real estate guy.
Who had just bought a new property that just happened to be boarded up.
And he was taking the first board off, and the white woman across the street went crazy.
Called the cops saying, "You don't belong here." Yes, he does. He bought the property.
Right. We had the guy from New York who is a lawyer. Oh, my goodness. We just go on and on. Who was at, a restaurant.
It's a fast casual restaurant for lunch, and two people were speaking Spanish, and he basically said, either speak English or go back to where you came from.
And I'm going to call ICE.
Yeah, right.
Well, we got another Starbucks incident of people acting like idiots.
Boy, the CEO of Starbucks is getting a lot of frequent flyer miles because he's going to these cities and having to apologize for what happens in his coffee shops?
Coffee shops.
Take a look at this sign outside this La Cañada Flint Ridge Starbucks. It reads, "Hello, friends." Nothing too friendly about the name Beaner printed on this coffee cup in place of a name. It should have said Pedro, which is this man. He says that's the name he gave the barista, the name they called when his coffee was ready.
Okay, so the barista, the customer tells the barista what his name is.
It's Pedro.
But the barista puts an ethnic or Spanish slur, Hispanic slur.
Terrible.
On the cup.
Yeah.
What? I just don't understand the cojones that people have,
or
thinking,
stupidity.
Yeah, or it's just plain stupidity, you're right.
Or hatred.
Of just, like, he's not going to notice?
I almost think that they do it to make sure the guy doesn't come back. Let me insult you to make sure you don't come back, because we don't want your kind here.
It's a way to say you're not wanted without saying you're not wanted.
Well, that's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Well, Pedro obviously took offense to it.
Horrible.
Now the CEO of Starbucks, again, has to apologize.
Well, why? I mean, it's one person. It's one person.
Yeah, but again, it's like a Philadelphia thing.
There are thousands of people that work at Starbucks, and they're going to be bad people that work there, just like they're bad people that work in any industry.
Right, but the owner of Starbucks or the CEO of Starbucks doesn't want any kind of misinterpretation or any kind of, you know, blanket statement of Starbucks is racist, Starbucks, and plus Starbucks is having a horrible time lately with their, I guess, the way they interact with minorities.
I don't know why.
For good or for bad. I mean, you know, you got a manager calling the cops on the Philadelphia guys, you know.
You got a new bathroom policy now at Starbucks. Anybody can use it.
Correct.
I'll tell you what, that's going to be a disaster.
It is.
That's going to be gross, and I'll tell you why. There's a reason that you're not supposed to use the bathroom.
There's nothing to do
with Starbucks or McDonald's or whatever. You go to a big city, whether it's, you know, Phoenix, Chicago, you go to downtown Phoenix or Chicago or San Francisco, right? If everyone's using that bathroom, you can pretty much guarantee they're going to be homeless people using
right.
that bathroom.
Right.
That's going to be their place to shower or do whatever. They're not a paying customer.
Correct. Remember, May 29th, Starbucks closing all of its 8,000
yeah.
stores to get racial bias training.
All right, coming up next, the Big Four at four big blockbuster stories. Obviously, one of those stories will be 10 people killed in the Texas high school shooting today.